All right, we're live. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. All right, we're getting into the winter months. I guess we're all getting tired, but I think we're getting into some of the more fascinating parts. This is History of the Talmud, Part 9. For those who are keeping track. So last time, just to go over a little bit of what we did, we were introduced to some of Rabban Gamliel's reforms and his attempts at unification of the Jewish people, his attempts, more than attempts, his very, very clear goals of unification, of creating a national policy, a foreign policy, of establishing himself as the representative of the Jewish people in Rome, and ultimately of a standardization of halacha that continues to this very day, such as, or meaning to say, tefillah, right, the Shemona Esrei that we recite, was part of his standardization. The putting together of the canon of Tanakh was part of his standardization. The consistency of the months, all these things, the standardization was very much a part of his unifying of the Jewish people, to the point where he brought together the far east and far west of the Jewish communities, the far west being the communities in Alexandria, Egypt, and in Rome, and the far east being the Jews of Babylonia. But as one can imagine, is any type of leadership, one is going to have an objector, an interlocutor, a doppelganger, however you want to call it, a yin to your yang. And in this sense, Rabban Gamliel was no different. Legendary are the arguments that existed between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. And we're going to learn about these arguments. I don't know how far we'll get. Some of them are pretty involved, and the stories are fairly fascinating as far as the internal drama of the Beit Midrash goes. On the other hand, what's going to interest us, I guess, as from a historical perspective, is what do the arguments between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua tell us about the historical events, the cultural experience of the time, etc., etc. It's unique. It's unique because in history, just this entire time, until probably the Bar Kokhba revolt, you have a group of Talmidei Chachamim, of great rabbinic scholars, who are very, very much aware of the fact that they are making uncommonly bold decisions. And when you're making those types of decisions, you got to know that there's going to be some controversy that goes along with them. And so here you have Rabban Gamliel. Why is it an interesting contrast? Just let's see what we know about them beforehand. We know that their relationship or the tension between them or whatever it is that is between them has to go back to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. We remember from the stories of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai that who was his right-hand man, who was the guy who was with him, the student that was with him at all times, the one who he trusted, not necessarily the brightest of his students, not necessarily the strongest of his students, but the one who carried the most of his trust, who was that? That was Rabbi Yehoshua. On the other hand, we also know about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai that he is directly responsible for the fact that Rabban Gamliel is able to take the mantle of leadership. One of the three requests that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai makes of Vespasian is for the family of Rabban Gamliel. So it seems that Rabban Gamliel's ascendancy to the leadership of the Jewish people was pre-planned by Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. And so one would assume, that Rabbi Yoshua would yield to the authority of Rabban Gamliel. That would be the logical statement, because this is ultimately what his Rebbe, what his mentor wanted. But does that really happen or not? So we're in the section on your sheets. I think it's on the second page already, or maybe even the third. The section entitled Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And it all starts with a very interesting Gemara or Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah Perek Bet. Remember, one of Rabban Gamliel's pet projects, one of his standardizations, was the calendar and keeping up the tradition of deciding on the calendar based on witnesses. The problem is you don't have the same type of educated society that you once had. Once upon a time, you had a society that was, more astronomically or astrologically literate. You don't have that same society. And so getting witnesses that know what the heck they're talking about is much more difficult. So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says as follows. Dmut tsurot levanot hayu lo l'Rabban Gamliel betavla uvakotel baliato. In Rabban Gamliel's offices upstairs, he had on the wall a picture of various phases of the moon. Okay? Shebahen mar'et ha'edyotot. And therefore, Omer, this way, the simpletons, the regular Joes who don't know from the celestial positions of the moon, he would show them and he would start asking them questions. Hakaze ra'ita o kaze? He says, what did you see? Did you see this? Or did you see this? And he was able to, through visual aids, decide if the witnesses were in fact truthful or not. Ma'ase, so a certain event, Shabau Shnaim, two guys came, the Amru, and they said, Re'inu Shachris Bamizrach, the Arvit Bama'arav. What did they say? They said, in the morning we saw it in the east, and in the evening we saw it in the west. I am not astrologically inclined, so I do not know whether this is the correct way one would see an early moon or not, but my sense is, that this was not something that they anticipated could happen with the moon. To which Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Eide sheker heim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, they're false witnesses. Kishabo li Yavne, but nevertheless these witnesses came to Yavne. Kiblan Rabban Gamliel, and Rabban Gamliel accepted them. Even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri seemed to think that they didn't know what they were talking about. The od ba'ushnaim ve'amru reinu biznano uvelelo iburo lo nire v'kiblan Rabban Gamliel. And again, another people said that we saw it in its proper time and not in its ibur, meaning an extra day added to the month. And again, Rabban Gamliel accepted them. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkana said, Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkana is ede sheker hein. He says, what's going on here? You're going to have people who are bearing witness on a woman who gave birth, and then people who come the very next day and say, we see her in labor right now. It doesn't make any sense. It's contradictory. Right? What does Rabbi Yoshua say? Amar Rabbi Yoshua, roa ne'e etvarech. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Dosa, you're right. So we see here, he goes against Rabban Gamliel. Fine, you know what I mean? It's not the only time that people can disagree. Rabban Gamliel gets wind of the fact that Rabbi Yoshua has argued with him publicly. What does he do? So Shalach Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel sends message to Rabbi Yoshua. Gozarni alecha, I command you, right? I decree upon you, shetavo etzli b'maklecha. So remember, there's a lot at stake in deciding when the beginning of the month is, particularly Tishrei. Why? Because whenever Rosh Hashanah is going to be, 10 days after is going to be Yom Kippur. And which means, if you're eating on the wrong day, what are you doing? You're violating an Isser Kares, right? You're violating one of the worst prohibitions one could violate. So what does he say? Rabbi Gamliel takes out his little calculator, works it out. This day is Yom Kippur according to when Rabbi Yoshua would have had me decide. Rabbi Yoshua, you need to come to me with your wallet and with your walking stick on your Yom Kippur. Making sure what? He's not keeping Yom Kippur that day. Because one could imagine, what would Rabbi Yoshua do? Fine, this is what Rabbi Gamliel does. There's no way I'm putting a drop of food in my mouth on Yom Kippur when I think Yom Kippur is. Even though, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that would be, since he's adding a day, that would be a day earlier. So, halach u'metza'o Rabbi Akiva metzar. So what happens? Rabbi Akiva finds Rabbi Yoshua in distress. Amar lo, so says Rabbi Akiva to him, Yeshli lemod shekol ma she'asa Rabbi Gamliel asui. Right? I need to tell you that you should do this, meaning you should feel comfortable doing this, because there's a halacha that anything that Rabbi Gamliel decides is done, is accepted. Right? Where does it say it? Eila mo'adei Hashem mikroi kodesh, asher tikru'u otam. Right? These are the mo'adim, the times of God, that you will call them, to which Rabbi Akiva interprets to mean, bein bizmanan, bein shelo bizmanan. Whether it's in the proper time or it's not in the proper time, when it comes to the mo'adim, unlike Shabbos, right, when it comes to the mo'adim, to yomim tovim, the rule is, we get to call them. Ein li mo'ados elu, right? What are the mo'ados? The referring specifically to these. So Bolo Itzel Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus. They came afterwards to Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus. Amar lo im bayin anu ladun achar beis dino shel Rabbi Gamliel. If we're going to basically, if we're gonna appeal, so to speak, the decision of Rabbi Gamliel, tzrichin anu ladun achar kol beis din sha'amad mimos Moshe yad achshav. Says if we're gonna appeal this conclusion that Rabbi Gamliel has. So he says, let's go to all the old court cases that have ever been brought before any Beis Din in all of history, and let's decide, because who knows? We could be off on the days going back generations, all the way back to Moshe. You know, who knows? Shenemar, Vayal Moshe V'Aron, Nadav V'Aviyu V'Shivim Zikne Yisrael. So he says, you go all the way back. So he says, V'lama lo nisparshu shmosan shel zakenim. Why doesn't it mention who the 70 elders were who decided with Moshe and Nadav and Avihu, etc.? El Lamed, rather to teach us, Shekol Shlosha Ushlosha Sha'amdu based in Israel, Hareyu Kaves Dino Shel Moshe. What's our rule? Any three, Musmachim, any three people who have the proper smicha, who make the decisions, they are like Moshe's judgment. So what happened? So what did they do? They basically sat with Rabbi Akiva, and using the force of their halachic reasoning, they sat there with Rabbi Yoshua, excuse me, and using the force of their halachic reasoning, they convinced Rabbi Yoshua that he had no choice from Midin. Rabbi Gamliel is a strong figure. And also Midin, the fact that halacha seems to mandate it, that he needs to go. So what does he do? Natal maklo uma'usav biado. He took his walking stick and his money in his hands. V'halach liyavne itzel Rabban Gamliel b'yom shechal yom ha-kipurim liyos b'cheshbono. What does he do? He goes and he visits Rabban Gamliel as he was requested to do on Rabbi Yoshua's Yom Kippur. Amad al Rabban Gamliel v'nashko al rosho. Rabban Gamliel, when he sees Rabbi Yoshua, stands up as a sign of respect, kisses him on his head, Amar lo, bo b'shalom, come in peace, Rabbi, my teacher, v'talmidi, and my student. Rabbi b'chokhma, right? You are my teacher in wisdom, meaning you have taught me so much of what I know, because Rabban Gamliel is the younger one. V'talmidi, but you are my student, shekibalta dvarai, that you accepted it. So this is kind of a beautiful, a very beautiful moment here, if you think about it. You have here the authority of the Gadol Hador, the authority of the Nasi, the authority of the leader, the uncompromising leader of the Jewish people. And at the same time, you have a conscientious objector, but nonetheless accepting the halachic authority of the Nasi. Okay? Were this to be the only source for the tension between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, the world would be a different place. Why? Because one could understand why there's a lot at stake in this question. What's at stake here? What's at stake here is when proper Yom Kippur is, when proper Pesach is, you know, who gets to decide, you know, broad-based rules for the entirety of the Jewish people. I mean, deciding on the calendar is not a simple thing, and we can understand Rabbi Yehoshua feels a little tension. You know, he was part of the, you know, dissenting group, a dissenting group which seems to have very, very legitimate claims on Rabban Gamliel's decision-making in this area. But nonetheless, you know, they work it out in the end. What we've seen here is, you know, the behind the scenes of a Supreme Court decision, and ultimately Rabbi Yehoshua yielding to Rabban Gamliel's authority. It would have been, you know, if you just have that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, so then everything would be fine. The problem is there are two more stories, one of which we're going to see, we're very famous, and we're going to see in kind of two little bit different details in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But one about Rabbi Tzadok, and the other relating again to Rabbi Yehoshua. One relating to the Halachos of Bechoros, the other one relating to the Halachos of Maariv. So we'll start with the one of Bechoros. I think it's a little bit harder of the case. The eldest animal in your flock belongs to the Kohen. That is, assuming it is unblemished. If it has a blemish, it is not. Okay? Which would also potentially lead people to purposefully blemish their animals in order to get out of having to give their eldest animal to the Kohen. I mean, you could see that happening. So there was always a question of believability in terms of the eldest animal that was born to your flock, okay, in those terms. Are you believed that this is the oldest animal, and are you believed that it in fact naturally got a blemish, or did you purposefully blemish it, at which point we're going to be very angry with you and potentially have to take action based on that. So the rule usually is a pesha asar shepesha hiter. That's usually the rule the Gemara in Bechoros talks about. Okay? What does that mean? It means if you walked into my, you know, flock of sheep or, you know, whatever it is, animals of cattle that I'm raising, you wouldn't be able to tell a firstborn animal from a thirdborn animal, you know? A sheep is a sheep, and you probably would not be able to tell the difference. So if I come and point to a certain sheep, and I say, see this sheep over here, this sheep is a firstborn, and it got a blemish, you believe me. Why? Because I could have said to you, what? This sheep is not a firstborn, and who would have given a hoot if it was blemished or not? Okay, that's what it was. So we have here a situation. The question is, does everyone get that right to say such things, or is it only a chaver? It is only someone who is trusted and believed, you know, part of this kind of elitist groups of people who were aware of halacha, etc. So here you have Rabbi Tzadok, who is a chaver. You know, he's part of the elite, educated society. So Havalei Buchra. He had a eldest animal. Rabbi Tzadok also is descendant of Kohanim. Again, just part of the story. Ramalei Sa'ari Besale. What does he do? He puts barley in a basket for this eldest, for this firstborn animal to eat. Nasre Kaili Aruva Aklupa. He fixed around the food for him. And Bahade da Ka'achiel, while the animal was eating out of the basket, apparently there was a sharp piece in the basket, Ivza sifte. So what happens? It cut its lip. You got a blemish now, right, on this. So he wants to know what he should do. So he goes to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, his right-hand man. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai is no longer around. Ata lekamei de Rabbi Yoshua. He comes before Rabbi Yoshua. Amarlei klum chilaknu bein chaver la'am haaretz. He says, Rabbi Yoshua, am I believed here? Do we differentiate between a chaver, educated person, and an am haaretz, an uneducated person, in terms of this issue? So Amar Rabbi Yoshua hein. Rabbi Yoshua says, we do differentiate. We do differentiate, and you're believed. Asa lekamei de Rabban Gamliel. He came before Rabban Gamliel. Amar lei. He says to him, Chilaknu bein chaver l'ama aretz. He says, we differentiate between educated and uneducated. Amar Rabban Gamliel, lo. Rabban Gamliel says, we do not. So, you know, Rabbi Tzadok, being the interested, you know, in learning here, says, Amar lei v'ha Rabbi Yoshua amar li hein. Rabbi Yoshua says, we do differentiate. So Amar lo, so he says to him, Hamtein ad sheyalu balei trisin leveis hamedrash. He says, wait until the people who sit in rows enter into the Beis HaMedrash. They would sit in these rows. Kevan shenichnesu, when they got in, leveis hamedrash, Amar ha-shoel, so stands up Rabbi Tzadok, and he asks, Klum chilaknu bein chaver la'am ha'aretz. Do we differentiate between educated and uneducated? Who stands up? Amar le Rabbi Yoshua. Lo, Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we do not. So Amar le Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel says, wait a minute. Vahalo mishimcha amru lihein. He says, that can't be, because someone just quoted me and says, we do differentiate according to you, Rabbi Yoshua. Amod al raglecha v'ya'idu b'cha. So he says, Rabbi Yoshua, stand up and let people bear witness against you. So what happens? Amar Rabbi Yoshua al raglav. Rabbi Yoshua stood up v'amar, and he says, Heyach haseh. He says, what can I do? Ilmale ani chai v'hu meis. He says, if I were alive and he, Rabbi Tzadok, were dead, yachol achai l'achish es hameis. I could say, he's a liar. Right? But what happens? Achshav shani chai v'hu chai. He says, we're both alive. He says, hey achai yachol achish es achai. He says, how can I argue with someone who's alive and says what I says? V'aya Rabban Gamliel omein v'doresh. So Rabban Gamliel punishes Rabbi Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel stood up and he gave the shear for the day. V'Rabbi Yoshua omed al raglav, and Rabbi Yoshua was forced to stand the entire time that they were learning. Ad sherininu kol ha'am v'amru l'chutzpitz ha'maturgan amod v'amad. Right, until everyone, so they would, he would teach through a maturgaman, through someone who a translator of some sort, and until they said to chutzpitz, stop it, enough already, and so chutzpitz stopped it, and then they were able to end things off right there. So a very, very interesting, very, very interesting occurrence here. Here, there's no kiss and make up at the end. Rabbi Yeshua does yield to Rabban Gamliel's authority, but it's clear that Rabban Gamliel has put in some sort of punishment to Rabbi Yeshua. And what I'm going to show you now when we read the Gemara in Brachos is that I put this all in chronological order, because the Gemara in Brachos is going to reference the other two cases. So we had case number one, they kiss and make up at the end. Rabbi Yoshua yields. He feels comfortable with deciding with Rabban Gamliel. In the second case, Rabbi Yoshua yields, and it is publicly shamed for having the chutzpah to disagree with the psak halacha of Rabban Gamliel. And now we have a third case. A third case, which is, again, we get more details in this case than we get in any of the other cases. Considering the time and considering the length of this case, and also the parallel issue in the Talmud Yerushalmi, I apologize in advance. I'm only going to get to basically pose the questions this week, but I guarantee you it's one of those page-turner of the stories that you'll ever find in the Gemara. So what's the story? So Maaseh b'talmid echad shabalifnei Rabbi Yoshua. So a certain student came before Rabbi Yoshua. Amar lei, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chova? Are you required to daven Ma'ariv or is it optional? Okay, remember, these days, they're deciding on, you know, how much is one required to daven and what one is supposed to say. So this is a very germane question. It's a very practical question. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yeshua says to him, Rishus, it is optional. Balifnei Rabban Gamliel, same student goes before Rabban Gamliel. Amar Lei, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, or Chova, he says, is Ma'ariv a requirement or is it optional? Amar Lei, so he says to him, Chova. Says Rabban Gamliel says, you're required to daven Ma'ariv every day. So Amar Lei, so says the student, wait a minute. Valo Rabbi Yeshua Amar Li Rishus. Says, wait a minute, Rabbi Yeshua says it was optional. So what does Rabban Gamliel say again? Amar Lei, Hamtein Ad Sheichnasu Bali Trisin LeBeis HaMedrash. He says, wait till the guys who sit in rows enter into the Beis HaMedrash. When all the students come in, Amar Hashoel Vishal, again, almost exactly like the case of Rabbi Tzadok, so the guy stands up and asks, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chova, is it optional or is it a requirement? So Amar Lei Rabban Gamliel, so Rabban Gamliel says, Chova, Rabban Gamliel says, it's a requirement, everyone's required to daven Ma'ariv every night. So Amar Lehem Rabban Gamliel Lechachamim, so Rabban Gamliel now says to the other rabbis, "Klum yesh adam shecholik b'davar zeh." Is there anyone who might be arguing on this? So Amar Lei Rabbi Yeshua Lav. Rabbi Yeshua says, "No one would argue with you, Rabban Gamliel." So Amar Lei. So Rabban Gamliel says, "Wait a minute. V'alo mishimcha amruli rishus. In your name, they said to me, what? It's optional." Amar Lei Yeshua amod al raglecha v'yaidu b'cha. Says Yeshua, stand up, let everyone bear witness against you. Amad Rabbi Yeshua al Raglav. Rabbi Yeshua stood up and he pleads his case for Amar and he says, Il male ani chai v'hu meis. Right? He says, were I alive and this, you know, student dead, so Yochol hachai lachisha sameis. I could have contradicted the dead. V'achshav shani chai v'hu chai. Says, how can one, you know, a live person contradict another live person? You know, you got me. What happens? Hayah Rabban Gamliel Yoshev Vidoresh. Rabban Gamliel sat and he gave shir. V'Rabbi Yeshua Omeid Al Raglav Ad Shiranu Kol Am Ramru L'Chutz Mis Ameturgaman Amod V'Amad. Right, until this is how it lasted, until finally they couldn't take it anymore. Rabbi Yeshua was looking tired and couldn't handle standing any longer. So they told Chutzpis again, stop translating, and that was the end of it. Flash forward, a scene a little bit later, Rabbi Gamliel has gone home. Okay? And the Chachamim are sitting around. And they are discussing the issue. And they say, wait a minute. Amre ad kama nitzare v'nezel. He says, how long are we going to allow him to go on making Rabbi Yeshua miserable? How long are we going to let Rabban Gamliel be tyrannical like this? B'rosh Hashanah ishtaked itzare. He caused him suffering last year in Rosh Hashanah. Right, when he forced him to come, you know, the following Yom Kippur with his staff and his money. Bibachoros b'maisa de Rabbi Tzadok tzare. They, what did they do? He caused him suffering in the case of the firstborn of Rabbi Tzadok. Hachanami tzare. Now also, what has he done? She's tortured him again. He's punished him again. Ta kam v'na'avre. We need to what? Depose Rabban Gamliel as our leader. Ma nokim le? So who shall we put up to replace him? So nokme le Rabbi Yeshua ba ma'isehu. He says, if we put up Rabbi Yeshua, it won't work. It looks bad. What are we doing? We're looking like Rabbi Yeshua was leading this insurgency, and it's not true. We are coming up to defend, like Rabbi Yeshua was out for his own honor to be the leader of the Jewish people. That wasn't what he was out for. So Nukme l'Rabbi Akiva. So who'd they go to? The biggest Talmud Chacham in the Beis Medrash. Who's the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Beis Medrash? Rabbi Akiva. So we all know Rabbi Akiva's story. Rabbi Akiva has very, very modest beginnings. He started learning at a much later age. But also his family was much less miyuchas. He was from a more complicated, shall we say, family than other people. So we say we're worried about this. Why? Because Rabbi Gamliel is descendant of who? Hillel, and before that, David HaMelech. So if we put up Rabbi Akiva, Nukmei l'Rabbi Akiva, Dilma Anishlei, Delesle Zchus Avos. Right, Rabbi Akiva, who is descendant, they think, from converts, would not have the power of forefathers to protect him when Rabbi Gamliel starts praying against him. So who do they do instead? Ella Nukma l'Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We should put up whom? Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, we all know the story because of from our Seders. Rav Elazar ben Azariah was 17 years old, you know, at this time. According to the Yerushalmi, he was actually 16 years old. But he did have the quality of A, being a distinguished Talmud Chacham at a very young age, and also he was a Kohen, descendant from a distinguished priestly family. So they say, Chacham hu, he's wise, v'hu ashir, and he's wealthy, v'hu asiri le'ezra, and he's also 10 generations from Ezra HaSofer. So, Chacham, why is it important that he be wise? De'imakshi le mefarik le. He says that if anyone has any questions, he'll be able to answer them. Vehu Ashir, he's wealthy. Afu Azilufalach. He says he's wealthy this way. If he needs to hobnob with Caesar and he needs to throw money around in that situation, he'll be able to. Vuasir le Israel le Ezra, and he's 10 generations from Ezra. Deisle schusavos velo mati anishle. Right, he has schusavos, so this way Rabbi Gamliel won't be able to, you know, curse him. So Asuva Amrulay, they went and they asked Rabbi Lazar. They said, "We want to appoint you the new nasi." Nichale Mar Dilehave Resh Masivta. He says, "Do you want to be the Rosh Yeshiva?" So Amrulahu Ezel VeImlech BeInshe Vesi. Right, he says, "I need to talk it over with my wife." Right, Azel VeImlech BeDevesu. So he went to go talk to his wife about it. So Amra, his wife says, "Amrulay." She says to him, Dilma Ma'avrinlach, he says, if they could depose Rabbi Gamliel, who is descendant of David HaMelech, he says, they could, but you know, you're going to get into a fight with someone else and they'll depose you. Amrlea, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to her, L'shtamish inish yom achada bekasa demukra l'machar litbar. He says, what do you mean? He says, if you have a beautiful cup, a beautiful goblet, so he says, it could break tomorrow. He says, so it would be terrible if you never used it. Right, so Amalei, less l'cha chayurta. She says to him, "You don't have a beard. You don't have a good hahu yama." So that day, Bartmani Sari Shani Hava. He was 18. Excuse me, he was 18 years old that day. Yisrach Ishle Nisa. So a miracle happened for him. Vahadrule Tmani Sari Dari Chayurta. He had 18. That day he grew 18 gray hairs in his beard. Hainu, that's what it says. Dekama Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. It's as if I'm 70 years old. Velo ben shivim shana. Okay, and not he wasn't actually 70 years old. So we know that from the Haggadah. All right. So continuing the story, Tana. So we learn Oso ayom salkuhu l'shomer haPesach. V'nasna lahem reshus la'talmidim likanes. On that day, what was Rav Elazar ben Azariah's first act as Nasi? They used to have a guard at the door to the Beis Medrash who wouldn't let anyone in, or who would only let certain people in. So they removed the guard from the front of the Beis Medrash and they allowed permission for all students to enter. Why? Who wouldn't Rabbi Gamliel? Shaya Rabbi Gamliel machriz va'omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to announce and say, Kol Talmid she'ein tochol kivaro, any student who doesn't have, whose insides do not parallel his externals, right? So lo yikanes lebeis hamidrash, you have to be spiritually deep. So anyone who is in externally and internally deep, we don't want him in the beis hamidrash. Hahu yoma, on that day, itosvu kama safsali, they had to add a number of benches to the beis hamidrash on that day. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Pligi ba Abba Yosef ben Dostai v'Rabbanan. So Abba Yosef ben Dostai and Rabbanan argued over how many benches they had to add on that day. Chanamar itosvu arba mea safsale. One says 400 benches they added on that day. V'chanamar shva mea safsale. Right? One says 700 benches they added on that day. So if you're Rabban Gamliel and all of a sudden you see all these people coming to learn Torah, so what happens? Hava kachal shadate de Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel felt really bad now. Not only because, A, he's not the Nasi anymore, but B, like, oh my gosh, was I preventing all these people from learning Torah? Amar dilba chas v'shom anati Torah Mi'Israel. Right? He says, could it be, God forbid, that I prevented Israelites from learning Torah? So ach zulei b'chalme. So he had a dream. Chatz v'chiyuri demalian kitma. He saw bags that were filled with, you know, like not good stuff. So what happened here? So, you know, make him feel better. Make him feel better. Why? Because listen, you were right. These guys, they may look like they may look like serious scholars, but deep down, they're not. But the Gemara says v'lohi. In fact, Rabban Gamliel really was wrong. These people were worthy students. But liyituve daate, right? Who? It was just Hashem wanted to make Rabban Gamliel feel better, so he sent him a dream. But in actuality, these people, why? Because tanu edios bo bayom nishnes. They learned an entire mesechet. They basically wrote an entire mesechet of edios on that day. The chol hecha damrinam bo bayom and anytime you see in the Mishnah the words, or in the Gemara the words bo bayom on that day, it means hahu yoma hava, right? It was meant that it was on that day. That day was one of the most productive days in the history of the Beis Medrash, right? There were so many people there. So anytime you see that in the Gemara, you know which day it's for referring to. Right? V'lo haisa halacha shaisa tluya bebeis medrash shelo pirshua. Right? There wasn't a halacha in the entire beis medrash that they did not explain it properly on that day. V'afar Rabban Gamliel, and even Rabban Gamliel himself, lo mana atzmo afilu sha achas mi beis medrash. And even Rabban Gamliel was one of the participators in the discussion in the Beis Medrash. Okay, which now goes on to show the discussion that went on. And now, watch, Rabban Gamliel of Rabbi Yeshua no longer has to fear Rabban Gamliel, because Rabban Gamliel is just another shlub in the Beis Medrash now. He's not the big dude anymore. So because of that, what happens? Bo bayom Yehuda Geramoni lefneim beBeis Medrash, Amar lehem ma'ani levo bakal. So on that day, Yehuda, who was a ger from Ammon, and we all know that Ammon, because they didn't give bread and water to the Jewish people when they were in the desert, they are not permitted to convert into the Jewish people. So Yehuda, who was a ger Ammoni, he was a convert from Ammon, he wanted to know if he could marry into the Jewish people. So Amar le Rabban Gamliel, Asar ata lavo b'kahal. Rabban Gamliel says, I'm sorry, I'm sure you're a nice person, but halacha salacha, you are not permitted. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, mutar ata lavo b'kahal. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're wrong, Rabban Gamliel. Amar lari Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel says to him, balo kvar ne'amar, lo yavo amonim v'yibukal Hashem. I got you now, Rabbi Yeshua, because you can't tell me I'm using, you know, faulty halachas here. I got a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah says, Devarim Perek Chav Gimel, very clearly, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi B'Kal Hashem, an Ammonite and a Moabite are not permitted to enter into the congregation of God. So Amar Le Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, I can still argue with you. V'chi Amon Umoav V'Mekoman Hayu Yoshvin? It says, are Ammon and Moab dwelling in their current places? Once upon a time, Ammon and Moab lived where on the east bank of the Jordan River. They don't live there anymore, right? Kvar Allah Sancheirev Melech Ashur, already years and years ago, Sennacherib, right? Sancheirev, the king of Assyria, what did he do? He had a policy of forced exile. What did he do? He moved all the Ammonites and Moabites around. Uvil bel kol ha'umos shenemar v'asir gvulos ha'amim v'atziseim shivasi v'aurid ka'avir yoshvim. V'chol de parish miruba parish. And he says, and we have another halacha, that anyone who separates, they separate from the rov, from the majority. So the majority of people on earth, or even in the Middle East, let's say, are non-Moabites and Ammonites. So you could claim you're an Ammonite, but we don't know if you're really an Ammonite. Amar lo Rabban Gamliel, v'alok var ne'maram, v'achareichen ashiv eshvus b'nei Ammon, u'mashem, u'kvar shavu. So Rabban Gamliel says, wait a minute. There is a settlement that has returned to the Ammonites there, and that's based on a promise of Jeremiah that they would return again. So Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'alok kvar ne'ar, shati eshvut amay Yisrael. He says, wait a minute. God said he promised he would return the Israelites also. V'lo shavu, and we haven't returned either. What happens? Everyone, let's vote on it. Who won? Miyad hetiru lavo b'kahal. This Yehuda, Ger Amoni, won, and Rabbi Gamliel lost the vote. What happens also? It's a moment of realization for Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, holy v'hachi hava, ezel v'yifai, say the Rabbi Yeshua. Right? He says, since this is the way things seem to be going, let me go and apologize to Rabbi Yeshua. Kimata levese, he got to Rabbi Yeshua's house. Chazina la'ashisa devese dimishachran. So he looks, he goes to Rabbi Yeshua's house, and he sees that the walls are black. So he says to Rabbi Yeshua, mikos levesecha nikarsha pacham yasa ata. He says, from the walls of your house, it seems to me you must be a blacksmith. So Amar le, oy lo lador she'ata parnaso. Woe on to the generation that you are its supporter, its leader. Why? She'iata yodea b'tzaran shal tamidei chachamim. You're rich. You have all the money in the world. You don't know the difficulty in making money that your rabbis have, but that your students have. B'mahim misparnasim, what they have to go through in order to make a parnasa. U'v'mahim nizonim, and how they feed themselves. Amar lo, ne'neti lecha. I've responded to you. Mecholi, please forgive me. Lo ishkachbe. He wouldn't, Rabbi Yeshua didn't even pay attention. Asei b'shvil, quote Abba, he says, do it for my father. Can't argue with that. P.A.S. He agreed. So Amru, ma nezel v'leimelehu l'rabbanan, who are we going to send to tell the rabbis that you've forgiven me? Lost the place for a second. Amru lehu ahu kobes ana azilna, so a certain washer said, I'll go. Shalach lehu Rabbi Yeshua lebe midrasha. Rabbi Yeshua sends message to the Beis Medrash. Man delavish mada, yilbash mada. The one who wore the kingly robes, meaning Rabbi Gamliel, who was descendant from kings, he should once again wear the kingly robes. Man delolavish mada, yemar le delavish mada, Ashalach madach ba'ana albashay. And one who didn't wear the robes before, let him remove his coat, his robe, and give it to someone who should be. And I will wear it. Amar lehu Rabbi Akiva. So when Rabbi Akiva hears this guy talking, he doesn't believe him. And he says he's just one of Rabban Gamliel's people trying to convince us. So Rabbi Yeshua, when he realizes this is going to happen, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, mutav de'ekim ve'ezel ana legabayu. Right? He says, Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm going to have to go myself and explain it to them. Asa Taraf Ababa, he went and he knocked on the door. Amarle, Maze ben Maze Yaze, Vishaino lo Maze velo ben Maze, Yomar la Maze ben Maze, Mi Mareve Afrach Afar Makla. What does he say? He says, the Maze ben Maze, the sprinkler, the son of the sprinkler, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who is descendant of Kohanim, right? Sprinklers, right? So he should continue to sprinkle and leave room for the other person to take over, and be king. So Amar le Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua nitpayasta. So he says, Rabbi Yeshua, you forgave him? So klum asinu ela b'shvil kvodcha. He says the only reason we did it was for your honor. Lamachar ani va'ata nashkim lefitcho. So tomorrow you and me, we're going to have to go and tell Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you know, what's going on here. So Amre, so they started discussing amongst themselves. Hechi navid, what shall we do? Navre, shall we just remove him? Mirin malin bakodesh ve'in moridin. Right, we already know, you can only go up in holiness, you can't go down. Which means we can't lower him. So nidrosh mar chadash abda or mar chadash shabda. So let them do 1 week and 1 week. They'll switch off. Asay leknuye. What are they going to do? They're going to be jealous of one another. Edra elar. What's their conclusion? Lidrosh Rabban Gamliel shlasa shabate. Let Rabban Gamliel have 3 weeks. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chadash shabbos. Shapsa and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will have 1 week, so they'll split up every month, 3 and 1. Vahainu da'amar mar, that's what they used to say in Yavne. Shabbos shall mihi haisa, right? Whose week is this? Shall Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haisa, ve'oso tamin Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai hava. Right, and the one who asked that was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Which is interesting in general. Just to give you again, because the hour is late, the Yerushalmi adds in a couple of interesting aspects. Number one is when you look at the Yerushalmi, it's in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph of Brachos. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was much younger; he was only 16. It also has Rabbi Akiva being heartbroken when he is not chosen to be the nasi, and feeling very, very much hurt by this one. And it also has that the split up of the two responsibilities after the detente was Rav Elazar ben Azariah taking the position of Av Beis Din and Rav Gamliel taking the position of Nasi, which seems to be that they were working in different spheres, where Rav Gamliel would be not only the religious head but also the political head, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah would be taking on mostly religious responsibilities. And now I'll just leave you with the question. Was Rabban Gamliel always like this? Was he always insistent of my way or the highway? Did he never allow for anyone to disagree with him in the Beis Medrash? Did he rule with an iron hand? And I will quote for you one Gemara, which would seem to indicate that it wasn't. And not only that, it wasn't with Rabbi Yoshua himself. The Gemara is Bava Kama Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Maise b'Rabban Gamliel shesima es ein tevi avdo. Rabban Gamliel knocked out the eye of his slave, Tevi. Tevi is a famous slave. We learn a lot of halachos from Tevi. Rabban Gamliel likes to brag about Tevi. So Rabban Gamliel is very happy when Tevi's eye is knocked out, because what's the rule? You knock out your slave's eye, it's free, you let him go free. V'haya sameach simcha gedola, he was very happy that finally Tevi would gain his freedom. Mitzao l'Rabbi Yoshua, he finds Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Lotz, he says to Rabbi Yoshua, great news. Iata yodea shetevi avdi yata l'cheiras. He says, guess what? Tevi's going free. So Amar lo lama, he says, why? Amar le shesimiti aseino, he says, by accident I knocked out his eye. Amar lo ein bidvarecha klum. What does he say to him? Rabban Gamliel, you don't know what you're talking about. Shekvar ein lo edim unless Tevi can bring witnesses that you were the one who knocked out his eye, it's meaningless. So what do we have here? Nothing. There's no argument. There's no, Rabbi Gamliel, how dare you have the chutzpah to argue with me when I'm the Nasi? None of this stuff. And not only that, but Rabbi Yeshua is even more chutzpahdik in this case. What does he say? You don't know what you're talking about. So what's going on? What is it about these three cases? The calendar, the Bechoros, or the differentiating between educated and uneducated, and Mariv being a requirement or optional, that brought Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua to blows and almost undermined the entire base medrash. What was going on here? And I will just give you a hint to kind of encourage you to come back next week. And I will tell you, it has everything to do with the underlying issue that is facing the Jewish people at this point in time. The one singular historical underlying issue that is facing the Jewish people at this time. Anyone want to take a guess what it is? Not women rabbis. Not women rabbis. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's hanging over their heads and they've never dealt with it. And these three events, Rav Reuven Margoliot will prove to us in our discussion next week, is directly related to the question of who is going to be long-term our guiding light, Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. See you next week.